Short-timer syndrome. We've all been there, haven't we? Yeah, whether it's the last few weeks of a job or last few weeks of school, the closer we get done to being done, I think especially if you don't like the job or maybe you've just grown weary of it, it is hard to stay motivated. It's hard to finish strong. And I would say that if you call someone a short-timer in this day and age, it's probably not a compliment. I think there's some negative connotations that come with that. But really, when it first started being utilized, a little bit of origin here, it was in Vietnam. And that was actually a pretty positive thing because if you were a short timer, it meant that your service was about done and you were about ready to get to go home. But regardless of, again, connotations and good, bad, or indifferent, regardless if you're having a hard time to stay motivated or you're waiting, you know, to be able to finally go home, the point is a short timer has a different perspective on things, right? When you can see just right there the end of something, something is drawing close to being done, then it helps you reshuffle your priorities. It helps you be able to look and see the things that either you really want to do before you're done or maybe things that you have to do before you're done, but it really gives us a different mindset. So here's the thing. None of us know how much time we got on this planet. That is just the reality. I looked it up, and this is according to ecology.com. 151,600 people die each day. That's 6,316 an hour. That's 105 every minute. That means 200 people have died since I started the sermon. Over 3,000 people have died since we started the service. And I don't share that because to be morbid or depress you in some way. I think that just really reminds us of the fact how important it is to live our Christian lives as short timers, right? Making sure that we are taking full advantage of every opportunity that God presents us. So we're just going to take a few moments this morning before we take communion. And I want to look at what God says about how we need to view and deal with time. So starting with a broader sense. 1 Corinthians 7:29a and 31b. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. The form of this world is passing away. Despite the climate people, I was watching the news this morning, some 14-year-old just took a 13-day boat ride across from Europe to come and speak on global change, and she wanted to do a sailboat. She refused to fly because of the fossil fuels and whatever. Yes, I think there's a stewardship component, but the bottom line is God never intended this planet to last. Look at Revelation, new heaven, new earth, right? So we just don't know. And so tomorrow, Jesus might come home today, right? Bring us all home. So we have to live in that understanding that this is not the end game. None of us are promised tomorrow. So Ephesians 5:15-16 says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Just like I said, God's intention for us is to make the most of the time that he blesses us with. And that verse even says something more. It says, be smart about it. So as we look at this gift, and again, and you live to be 100 in this day and age, it's still quite a long stretch, but when we hold that up to eternity, it's not a whole lot. And God blesses us with that time. He's telling us, look, be smart with it. And I don't have to go into details, and I don't even have to dig into your life, and I could even challenge you and you say, okay, look over the course of your last week, you know where you were smart with your time, and you know when you weren't, right? I mean, we do. We know the things that are worth our time, our energy, and effort, and we know those times, and we wasted it. But the key, I think, scripturally, and I truly think you can make this argument is, it's not about living for self. Whenever we try to make this life, whenever we try to make this world and all this about me, 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 we have missed a primary message and concept from God's word. Look at John 9:4. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. So this verse is talking about what? While we're here, while we're on this planet, we are to be about what God has called us to be, because once he comes back, the rules all change. Now, I'm not standing here telling you that there's not going to be work in heaven and there's not going to be things, but there are certain things that we can only do while we're here. Number one, we know it. Engaging people with the truth of who Jesus Christ is and sharing our faith, hoping and praying that through us, maybe God would help them realize their need for him. Another one would be, I would argue, look, you have been blessed with the resources you have because God chose you to have them. Guess how many of them you are taking with you? Only the ones that you invested in God's kingdom, right? Treasures in heaven. And so here we are. We got time. We have resources. We don't necessarily know how much time we have. We have a sense of the resources we have, but even that, depending on the stock market and yada yada and all those things, but we have those things. We can only utilize them for the kingdom while we are here. And we need to understand it. We need to live in that truth, because what we hear from our culture, what we hear from our country, is a vastly different message. It really makes it, again, it's all about you. You deserve this. You need this. And that's all this stuff. And it's so easily to get caught up in it. So we need to be smart with the time. And again, work while you're... Who's this verse for? Guess what? If you're still here, means God's not done with you yet. And your work might change, right? When you're young, 10, 20, 30s, 40s, it might be more physical. Yeah, once you hit those later years, the physical's harder. But man, the best prayer warriors I've ever met have been older. They have the time, you know, the physical thing. So we're still, if we are still here, there are things that we can be doing for God. We need to operate as a short timer. Another key in this, I think, which we really, really understand, and I see, I think people struggle with on a regular basis, is this. We have to live in the now, right? If we're not promised another day, we have to live right now, right here, in this moment. Look at just a couple verses. One's Old Testament, one's New. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing something new. It springs up. Do you perceive it? I'm making in a way wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now again, God is telling Isaiah something very specific, you know, but again, God's word has multiple meanings, and I think Paul really spells it out in Philippians 3. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He's talking about this whole faith thing and his full glorification. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. There are too many people that are stuck in their past. If you have come to Christ, if you've accepted his gift, he has made you into something new. And when you get wallowed in your past, it's because Satan wants you there. Think about it. I don't care how smart you are, I don't care how capable you are, I don't care how many resources you have, you can't change your past, period. We've all made incredibly dumb decisions in our past. All of us have had things that we wouldn't wish on others that have happened to us in our past. We can't change it. And when we wallow in it and we dwell too much on it, then we waste the gift of time that God has given us. It's a gift. That clock is ticking. We don't know. Here's the thing. I read this from a book. You are way more than the worst thing you've ever done. Some of us need to take that and own it, because so many, again, whenever we try to make strides in the faith, or whenever we try to, God gives us an opportunity, we step up and we want to do it, Satan comes and goes, remember this? Remember all this? And it might be years of our lives that we were doing stupid stuff and running from God and all that stuff. It does not matter. Who are you today? What can you do today? When Christ went on the cross, not only did he forgive your sins, he gave you a new identity. When Satan comes and reminds you of your past, you can look him in the eye and say, that's not me anymore. That I am not bound by that anymore. So we can't dwell. Now again, it doesn't say that we never think about it, because if we don't learn from the mistakes of our past and we're destined to repeat, Or I think the most powerful ones are those people that have that story and they can point to it and say, look what God did. That is a powerful testimony. So we don't discard our past, we just don't live in it. And again, what did Paul say? Striving toward what is ahead. But here's the thing. We need to strive for what's ahead, but I would argue he's not telling us to live in the future either. Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. I think it's good to allow God to give us a dream of the future, but I think we also need to understand that there's no guarantees. Here's the thing, when you live too much in the future, you are bringing on a whole lot of anxiety that you don't need to live with. I talked about it last week, right? If, the what if game. So much of thinking in the future is that game, right? Well, here's an opportunity. Maybe it can even be a positive thing. So this, if we have this opportunity out here, we're going to think, oh, that'd be pretty good. Well, if that comes into play, then that changes this, it changes that. Well, what about that? Would I have to move? All that stuff. And we get wrapped into this, bring a bunch of anxiety to ourselves, and God never brings it to fruition anyway. And so what have you done? Number one, your faith and trust in God goes a little down. And number two, you've wasted the time that you could have been doing something right now, worrying about something that never will exist. We need to live in the, every day is a gift. Every day. Psalms 90:12. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. So every day, every time you wake up, your feet hit the floor, you have a couple opportunities. Number one, to seek God. Every day it gives you an opportunity in one way, shape, or form, whether it's in his word, whether it's listening to worship music, whether it's meditating, whether it's reading a devotional, whether, I mean, it's a huge thing, but every day, just to simply seek God, to take one more step toward him, to allow God to transform us just a little bit so that we reflect more and more what Jesus Christ looks for us. Every day gives us an opportunity to serve God. Again, it might not look the same for us. It might be, and I've shared with you like this, if I'm driving, there are times if I don't have a whole lot of things I'm thinking about, and Kiva, at one point I referenced this, and she's like, I have a name for it now, drive by praying, right? So you're driving by someone, and if you see someone and you focus on their face, throw them a prayer. Anybody here doesn't need prayer? Your life can go fantastic, it'd be perfect right now. Would you turn down a prayer? Well, no way, right? And so even when you're driving around, even when you're walking through the grocery store, we have opportunities all the time to simply serve God. I think the catch is, are we in the right spirit to see it? Have we woke up? Have we offered that day to God and say, okay, Lord, use me however you see. Let me not miss any opportunity. And just that's bite size. All of us can handle a day, right? When we're going, oh, Lord wants me to do all this stuff. No, just today. Just seek God today. Just serve God today. Another day, every day gives you an opportunity to love people. The older I get, the more I read, the more I am absolutely convinced that we as Christians need to be on the forefront of this thing, to just love on people. And my wife is becoming an example of that, so much so that our family makes a joke that mom's making another friend. So we'll be on vacation. Yesterday, prime example of this. So her little sister, we were down in New Buffalo. They rented a boat. So Ty and I and Beth went and spent the time. And we're pulling to the dock and we're jumping out. And Beth starts talking to this guy and we're all ready to go for dinner. And there she is chatting with this school teacher who does this on the summers and just whole engaging. And part of me is like, this is my weakness. But I'm like, I knew where we were going for dinner. I knew it was going to at least be a half an hour wait, and I was hungry, right? And so this is the weakness of your pastor, and there my wife is just, and she's, again, God is moving. Again, everything we read seems to be this message of, you need to love people. I get in my own way of that, right? If I slow down enough, I blame it on my gender. If I'm focused, right, where women, you guys can take that all in. But just simply, I mean, none of us here are beyond that point that you can't make somebody's day better with a simple act of love. Whether it's an open door, whether it's a smile, whether it's, I will tell you, if you are in this mode and you allow the Spirit to talk to you, you will notice if somebody's having a bad day. Who of us can't say, hey, are you all right? And you will be surprised The opportunities that you might have. Yeah, you might get in over your head and go, oh my word, I did not ask for that. But it gives you opportunity to, I've done it too, going, you know what, I am so sorry. Either I'll pray for you today or even better yet, can I quick pray for you? Something just like that. Because here's the thing, our world is so self-focused that just having someone else notice you in some way, shape, or form reminds you that, guess what, you matter. You're seen. You're worth it. We as Christians need to be purveyors of that, so love people. And then I would argue every day gives us an opportunity to grow our faith and as a person. Every day. Don't settle. You're not done yet. I'm not done yet. So every day gives us that opportunity to just grow in faith and as a person. And again, whatever the future holds, God's already there, so I'm not going to worry about it. Wake up and say, okay, Lord, you and me today, the next 12 hours, we've got this, right? Doesn't worry about, we're not going to worry about that other stuff. And we daily live this by Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And so we can read that verse, and we can, okay, that makes sense, right? We have to think about the things that matter and all that stuff. But what does this practically look like? And as I thought about that question as I was prepping this sermon, I think it really means that we need to hold on to the things of this world loosely and have an eternal perspective on things. So what do I mean? Spouse, kids, job, entertainment. Now, hold on to things loosely. So what's this mean? Your spouse and your kids are gifts from God. They're not yours. We don't want them to be taken. We like to steer. But at the end of the day, if we do this, then they become idols to us. We can't. And so I will pray for my wife and kids. I will pray for my wife and marriage. But I have to hand them over to God on a daily basis. Because when we hold too tight, and you can see this. Maybe you're this person, or maybe you know these people. And they just, man, the angst and the anxiety and all that stuff they bring to their lives because they're trying to cling to something so tight that they have no control over. Only God does. So we really have to daily put these, again, these cons, again, spouse. You know, I would argue that that is the most important human relationship you will have. It makes me nervous, and usually I bite my tongue because I don't want to get into it, when I hear someone go, oh, it's all about the kids. I want to go, time out. No, it's not. You get your kid for 20 years-ish, yeah, lifetime sentence, parenting, but they at least move out and hopefully become decent citizens, so it changes. But your spouse is what? Till death do us part, ultimately. And so we need to look at them as a gift of God, know that they're in process just like we are. But when things are this, we live in a broken world, and when it happens, if we don't hold on to them loosely, then we get angry with God. And it switches us all around versus going, Lord, like I said, we went and sat up in Ann Arbor, even though Sherry and Jeff said, oh, you don't have to do that. I'm like, thank the good Lord we've never been there when the surgery's gone bad. But guess what? It happens. We don't know. And our kids, again, we get to pour into them for a small amount of time. And I know some of you have had the misfortune of losing a child, and I can't imagine, and I hope I never have to experience that. But again, our kids are on loan to us by our loving Heavenly Father. Yes, we have to pour in. Yes, we have to do what we can, but ultimately. And then job, same thing. You have a job, yes, you have to be a good employee, you need to pay your bills and all that stuff, but ultimately, that's a mission field, right? We have to have that right perception of why we do what we do. Entertainment. This, I think, is more of a time thing. I will confess, there are times that I have wasted way more time than I'd like to admit playing video games or watching TV. Mindless entertainment. And you could justify it, oh, I'm just taking a break. My brain needs to shut off. And I think there's a happy level of that. Then we go into ridiculousness. We're entering into my favorite sports season of the entire year. It's football season. I'm on two fantasy teams. I love the Lions. I love the Spartans. But at the end of the day, there are individuals you're like, you can't talk about anything for the next 3 months because that's all they know. There has to be a balance. God wants us to enjoy some things while we're here, but he doesn't want us to get stupid with it. Our hobbies and things need to be in the right perspective. And lo and behold, you know, don't you, and this is a parent thing, if you have video gamers in your house and you ask them to do something, just a minute, I'm in the middle of a game. Anybody suffer that, or is it just our house? Okay, back there, some of that, right? And so you're just like, what's the perspective? What's more important? And we do that as adults too. God says, hey, I got this for you. And you're like, whoa, Lord, I got plans. I already got tickets for something. So I love that. I know it'd have some eternal value for you, but I've already got plans. Now, none of us would dare say that, I would hope. But we live our lives like that. How much of our time and our resources do we pour into our hobbies and our entertainment that ultimately are not going to follow us on the other side? And that's just for all of us, just for that perspective. And again, I think those concepts can be hard to accept, especially that idea of spouse and kids and loved ones, that we kind of have to hold them with an open hand. But in our heart of hearts, we know that it's true. God knows this, right? Knows it's hard for us, and that's why he reminds us in his word some incredible important truths about how that we can do this right. So 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, last scripture. So we do not lose heart every day. Our nature, our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what we can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. A couple things here. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Look, if you're young, maybe you haven't come to this realization yet, but as you get older, every morning it probably reminds you these bodies aren't made to last. It just, you know, when you stand up and it sounds like snap, crackle, and pop, you just realize you actually don't want this body forever, and that one of the great hopes of eternity is, hey, I'm going to get a new body that's not going to wear out. Man, that's no amens. All right, you're in better shape than I am. That's okay. That's fine. But here's the good thing. Even though that is, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. It's just what I talked about. God, every day, wants to pour in us and minister to us and transform us into something. So no matter how long we're here, God is always at work. So when we look at even a quiet day, even that, have you ever had a time, it's like, I just wasted that whole day. God didn't. If we're walking with him, even though in our limited perception, we might go, what was that? Have you ever even, you're in that circumstance, and I tell people, I have a list that when I have my lunch with God, I'm going to go, what was this all about? I did all this stuff, and I still have no idea. Could you clue me in? And whether it was like, oh, that was your own stupid decision, or check this out. We use this to transform you down the pipe. So just every day, guess, as much as our bodies hurt, clinging to that true fact that God is renewing us. Second thing, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Put it on your fridge. This is an incredible truth. And here's the thing. No matter how bad it gets here, no matter what we face, no matter what circumstances that we find ourselves, whether they're self-induced or just because we live in a messed up world, God's word is telling us, look, and I love this, right? Slight momentary affliction. Doesn't always feel that way, right? Man, some of us have been dealing with stuff for a long time, but when held up to eternity, 100 years is a drop in the bucket. So whatever we're facing, God, he recognizes it. But that second part of that verse is what really brings it home. An eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. So no matter how big your pain, no matter how big your affliction compared to what God has for you on the other side, it's non-comparable. And when God says that, when God himself says beyond all measure, A, we can believe him. B, we can't even fathom that. So regardless of what we're dealing with, we cling to these kind of truths. And we see it, just another great reminder, because we look at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen, for what we can see is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Here's the thing. This world, our five senses, our feelings are not the end all. And that is a hard truth that our culture needs right now. That your feelings, I wouldn't base a whole lot of truth and decision making on what you feel on any given moment. Because why? Because they get us into trouble all the time. Our bigger truth is something that we really can't see. We know God's there as we worship him and as we seek him, he speaks to our heart. But we don't get to see. We get to see some things that he does. But the bottom line is we don't get to see him. But we have to understand that God is always at work and that he's got this. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, our God has it. Keep running to him. Keep bringing it to him and trust that he will walk you through. Because, and here, with all these truths, it goes back to that first reason why. So we do not lose heart. God understands that this isn't necessarily easy for us to live in this now, to try to be free from our past, not be anxious about the future, and just daily seek him and grasp hold of every opportunity he gives us. He understands it's hard for us, and that's why he encourages us and says, look, don't lose heart. I've got this. As we turn to him, as we allow him to move in our lives, as we just listen to him, he will minister to us. So how well are you doing this morning as a short timer? Are you making the most of every opportunity that God is blessing you with? Are you living in the power and joy of the presence, or are you a prisoner of your past? Are you shackled by the anxiety of the future? Have your circumstances caused you to lose heart? God has sent you the truth of his word today to allow you to live a full life as a short timer, simply taking every day as a gift and living it to its full. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, I would just ask that you spend a moment. Let God show you how you're doing. Honestly, just ask, Lord, where am I at? Maybe there's some stuff in your past that you need to finally leave at the altar and walk away from. Or maybe you're realizing you're way caught in the anxiety about what might be. Guess what? Our God is already there, and he has it. So I encourage you to meet him here at the table and let him help you be the short timer he wants you to be. Pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we know this to be true, but we also are smart enough to know that it's hard for us to live like this. We live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with different messages. And Lord, we know that in our deeper recesses, we can be pretty selfish and we want to make it about us and that we want to dwell in the past. We want to look at the future. Maybe we don't think our present is all that great. And yet it is, because you're here and you can move in us and you can work in us and you can use us, Lord. So in these next few moments, this presence, meet us in this place. Speak to our hearts and mind, Lord, and just whatever you call us to, help us to hand it over to you and trust in you and just be able to daily live our lives with that perspective that we don't know what time we might have, but we're going to trust you in that and just live this life fully the best we can with your help. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.